Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Hoberty, and joining me tonight is Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everybody.
And Jack McCarthy is on his way. He should be here very soon. So what we're going to do tonight is I am going to give a short little review of Lightyear, since I had just seen it. We're also going to talk about Obi-Wan episode number 5, or chapter 5. We're going to talk about, well, I'm going to do a short little review of Ms. Marvel episode 2, since I don't think Jack or Fedra has seen it. And then finally, we're going to talk about The Boys season 3, episode 4. But since Jack is not here, I guess we'll start with the news first, and Fedra and I will just kind of go over it. So one of the first news stories is Joker 2 is a reality, and Todd Phillips is returning to direct. Apparently Joaquin Phoenix is set to star, and it looks like they're trying to get Lady Gaga to play Harley Quinn in this movie, and it might be a musical. Thoughts?
I think it sounds terrible. I think they need to keep it like the original and make it, you know, stuck in reality. I think Lady Gaga is not my first choice. I think she did all right in Gucci, but she's not an award-winning artist.
I think she is, though.
I know, but I mean, in my opinion, like, I don't think, like, you know, wow.
I agree with you.
I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is like, I mean, I don't know if you can go toe-to-toe with him. And the fact that she's going to be Harley means that she has to be just as insane as him. And I don't know if we're there. I mean, yeah, she has the look and the body, and she has a nice voice for the musical portion, but that's not Harley. Like, that's not, I don't know. I don't think I ever saw in any comic or any animated series that Harley sang, let alone like trying to make this into some kind of musical. I mean, I don't see Joaquin Phoenix having a reason to sing, you know?
No, he doesn't sing. Well, actually, he was in that Walk the Line when he played Johnny Cash.
Yeah, no, I don't mean like he's not capable. I just mean like that's not what the Joker would do. Like, I don't think he is capable
because he wasn't very good in Walk the Line, as far as I was concerned. It's very easy to imitate Johnny Cash.
Yeah, and then also, like, which character of Harley is she going to be? Because there's different kinds of Harley, and you know, I just think they're going to ruin it with this idea.
No, I agree, Fedra, and I don't know why they are forcing Lady Gaga down our throats all these years. She's a good, I guess, musician. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of hers. I've heard a couple of songs and they're kind of catchy, but there's no reason why she has to be a movie star. She was nominated for an Oscar for A Star is Born. I just checked. She didn't win, thank God. I'd seen that movie and she didn't do anything special. I don't understand why she was nominated at all. She won an Academy Award for Best Song back in 2019. I don't know what it was for, but yeah, she's nothing special. I don't think she's super attractive. I don't think she's got the best singing voice. You know,
really? Oh, no. I mean, I would applaud her for her writing and her singing.
Yeah,
but I don't think like it. And that's what I was trying to tell my friend, because my friend was like on and on and on about this, and I'm like, it's very rare. It's very rare to find a really good singer that can also act. And I mean, we're not saying to do just like a supportive role. We're talking about a full-on lead Oscar winning role, and she ain't it, and that's okay. I'm not trying to put her down on what she's trying to do, but I also think that it's an overreach. Like, even Gucci to me was an overreach. She was around. You haven't?
No,
I mean, it was like, you know, the cast was huge. I mean, it was a very strong cast, and I think everyone did a great job, even she did, but I felt like it was over the top, like she was overacting, and I was just like, you were at best supposed to be a supportive role. It's cool that the story kind of circulates about her, but it should have been technically about the Gucci family. So that's where, you know, seeing her act, it's like, I just don't know how this is going to go. And also the chemistry the chemistry is going to be super important between Joaquin and Lady Gaga. Is that going to be there? You know, because this is a very conflicted and complicated relationship.
Well, part of the reason why I didn't see House of Gucci is because of her. I'm just sick of her. And I don't like that they're forcing us to believe that she's some kind of actress. It's all marketing. It's kind of like the hiring, and not because she's a good actress, but because she has a big fan base. You know, that's yes. why they put her in those movies. And again, until she can prove that she's a good actress, I don't give a damn about her. I was also annoyed too. I'd seen Maverick recently, and she did the closing song for it. It's like, does she need to be involved with every friggin' thing? Not that I don't blame her. It's just that I think that these production companies just think she's the it girl or the it musician, and they just want to put her in everything. And after a while, oversaturation is just not good. You just get sick of it. And, you know, like shit, like Poker Face, that was a good song. But to be honest with you, probably anyone could do that song and make it sound good. I don't think that she's a musical genius, like people say. You'd be a better judge of it than I am, Fedra. Because again, I just know that Poker Face and that, what's the other one that she sings? Was it True Romance? Not Romance.
Yeah, something Romance.
Something Romance.
Bad Romance.
Yeah.
I mean, the wordplay is great. I mean, it's catchy. It's relatable. It gives you a nice, you know, picture in your head. So I would say the writing is great. But yes, I mean, I believe Poker Face, I believe, is in the key of C, and most people can see sing in the key of C. So I would say, you know, at that point, yeah. But, you know, we're also talking about having the full package, which she has, which is the style, the attitude, the body, the writing. So, yeah, I mean, as far as a company and for business terms, she's their, you know, dream doll. You know, they could just put her in anything, and they're trying to put her in as much as possible to sell. But that doesn't mean it's going to be good, because I agree with you. It's going to get saturated and it's going to get overdone. So she's going to have to take a break soon. So maybe it's expected, you know, do a few movies and then, you know, take a vacation and then come back and just come up with another freaking hit that they play all over the radio for the next summer.
Yeah, it's plus I think, you know, getting back to the movie itself, it's just arrogance for them. Well, they're doing it because they feel they're going to make money off of it. But for me, not that it was a perfect movie, but I would consider it a classic. No, Jack's coming in. And
yeah, the original Joker.
Yeah. Why mess with it? It's like, you know, I could say the same thing about The Godfather Part One, but there was more of a story to tell. I don't necessarily know if there is a better story to tell, you know, with
maybe
the Joker
sequel. Maybe it's too dark and they're trying to like lighten it up with singing.
No, I just think that they're overconfident. I think that they feel like they can have lightning strike twice. You know, Joaquin's Phoenix was spectacular, and his performance was spectacular. I'm sure he could do it again. But now they're like, well, we need a counterpart, so that I think it made over $1 billion, Joker. So they're like, well, let's make even more than $1 billion this time. Who could we add in there that'll bring in a lot of people? Lady Gaga, and she could be Harley Quinn. Oh, it would be just so awesome. And I just wish they would just leave the Joker as a one shot. Let it just be something considered a classic. And I just think, just don't tempt fate. You know,
I like the other actress. I don't remember her name. However, I would still want it to come from the original background. So if it takes place exactly when he's in the hospital, then she has to play the full-on professional, like, psychologist. And it would have to be a slow move. We would have to see the psychology and get really dark on the sense of how he's actually manipulating her and creating her into a sociopath that's codependent, and then show how she sets him free. Like, that would be fascinating. And I would love to really get it as dark as possible. But to me, putting it as a musical, it's going to be a joke. And that's not what I want to see of the Joker.
It's still, it could be a rumor, but I still can't imagine them doing something that stupid. And to your point, where he's going to manipulate her psychologically, that's not this Joker. If you watch the movie, that is not this Joker. I don't think he has the smarts to do it. He's just crazy, or, you know, he was abused and crazy. I don't think he's...
But that's how he's going to do it. Feel sorry for me. You could save me. I could change. I could be different. Now let me out. You know, like, that's why, I mean, I'm going to be like, dang, how is that going to like wrap around in everything, you know? And then when she releases it, it's like she finally realized what he really is. And then it's like, oh, crap. Like, that would be great. But
I really hope they cancel it, but we'll see. And just want to say, Jack is on joining the conversation.
Hello, guys. How are you? Sorry I'm so late.
That's okay. You're not too late. I know that's one movie you're not going to see, Joker 2.
I am a Lady Gaga fan.
No way. Are you really? I would never guess that. Are you serious?
Why not?
I don't know.
I appreciate her. I think she's very talented.
Wait, but you can't see the second one without watching the first one.
Hey, I tried.
No, you see, Jack,
I made it through about half an hour and I got disgusted and turned it off.
Okay.
See, Jack, I picture being like
a wise man said recently, there's more to do to life than watch movies you don't like.
He was a very wise man, I have to admit.
No, he wasn't. But anyway, I'm going to.
You just said he was a wise man. You started off your sentence, you jackass. And he was talking about me. But you know what? I still ended up watching a movie I didn't like recently. Which one was it? Oh, Inside Out. It's like, I don't like that movie. I watched it 5 times and I got a new 4K TV. It looks beautiful in 4K. I hate that movie though. I just don't like it. I really can't stand it. I've tried so hard.
What really bothered me was that imaginary friend.
Bing Bong? I actually I like him and Joy, and that's about it.
Yeah, but I could almost watch it with the other characters and stuff. But once they brought in the imaginary friend, that elephant thing, I was just like, oh, that's so dumb looking. It just ruined it for me. He's the Jar Jar Binks of Pixar.
Nah, I wouldn't say that. Let's move on anyway. So Morbius ended up getting a re-release because of their arrogance. Jared Leto and I guess Warner Brothers felt that since Morbius was trending on Twitter, that they should re-release the movie and that they had a possibility of having a success this time around. But they were so wrong. First of all,
yes, they were.
They were making fun of the movie. They weren't really, you know, acknowledging what a good movie it was. But for some reason, they felt that, well, we got a chance to save this movie. They re-released it. Nobody went to go see it. It bombed twice. And for some reason, Jared Leto just thinks that his career as Morbius is not over. I think that there was some sort of meme, it's Morbin time, that was trending. And
yeah, because they were making fun of it. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
They were mocking it. And, you know, Sony thinks there's no such thing as bad publicity. Yeah, well, there is when your theater owners are not going to want to carry your other movies.
I think it made $85,000, which is pretty dismal.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't understand why people are giving Jared Leto a chance at movies at all.
Agreed.
He's just very good.
I'm not surprised that it bombed twice.
And he's difficult to work with. Another guy who likes to throw all this stupid behavior out, thinking people are going to think he's a genius, and he's not. He's just an idiot.
He's a weirdo. All right, so let's get into our reviews. That was the news. Pretty short, pretty sweet. And I'm going to start off with Lightyear. So, Jack, you're not going to see Lightyear.
Why? I want to see Lightyear.
You want to see Lightyear?
Yeah, I do.
Because I was going to be spoilery.
Oh, well, I mean, they've kind of spoiled enough of it that, you know, for some reason it's his fault that they're stranded. He gets in a plane, it misfires, he comes back in the future, and
there's a cat.
All right, well, so, but this is what I'm going to do.
I got to say, that cat is pretty annoying.
It is. It's very, it's even worse than the commercials. Oh, it's even worse than the movie.
I'm sorry. All right, so, I'm talking a lot tonight.
That's okay.
Carry on.
No, I'm just glad you're here. And Fedra, too. Yes, I had seen it this afternoon. I'm going to reveal some spoilers and I'm going to let you know when you can come in, so that if people want to avoid spoilers, they don't have to listen to this part. So you can come in at
31 minutes.
So here we go. So I'd seen the movie. I didn't like it. Part of the problem with this movie is I just don't think we really needed it. And it's very dark. And when I say it's dark, it's the lighting of the movie. Usually with Pixar movies or Disney movies, like, I wasn't a huge fan of Encanto, but it was beautiful to look at. It was just stunning. Like, all these colors popped and everything.
Agreed. This,
yeah, like, this movie takes place either at night or it's cloudy or it's in closed doors. Just nothing that pops in this at all. And after a while, yeah, he looks better than what he looked like when he was a toy. He looks more human. But you don't care because you're not even noticing it, because it's just such a dismal looking place. And this is another example of character assassination, like similar to like what they did with Boba Fett and Obi-Wan. He's just a screw up in this movie. You know, his partner that you've seen in the trailers, she's a Mary Sue. She's basically always rescuing him. She's better than him. And he has zero confidence in himself. And again, it's all his fault that they are stranded on this planet or marooned on this planet. And this movie just rips off every single movie. It's not original at all. It rips off Interstellar. It rips off Star Trek 3 and 4. It rips off Aliens, Endgame, Tron Legacy, WALL-E. I mean, there's probably more to it. But I was just like watching it. It's like, yeah, I've seen that before. I've seen that one before too. So it's kind of annoying. The big spoiler is that Zurg is actually Buzz Lightyear in the future. So
not his dad?
No, he's actually Buzz Lightyear. Like say he's like maybe 80 or 90 years old. And the Buzz Lightyear that's in the present time is probably in his 30s. But
okay.
It's so stupid, because what happens is, you know, his partner, and, you know, they made this out to be controversial, which it really isn't, you know, where she falls in love with another woman and they end up, I guess she's pregnant, you know, his partner ends up getting pregnant. They have a baby. He grows up and he has a child. So she has a granddaughter and all that. So what happens, though, they're marooned on this planet, this alien planet. And it's like Aliens. It's like basically they have creatures like aliens that kill humans, or they have vines that suck you down into the ground. It's a horrible place to live. And they're trying to make the best out of it as they can, because they can't get off the planet, because they need to somehow figure out light speed. This is like the whole stealing off of Star Trek. He's got a slingshot around the sun in order to reach light speed, which is just
pretty dark for a kid's film.
It is very dark for a kid's film. And I think something really dark did happen in there, and I just can't remember it. But what's annoying is that, like, Zurg finally takes off his helmet and he reveals that he's Buzz Lightyear, but the older version, and they're getting along, you know. And he's like, you know, because he's himself, and he's, you know, the older Buzz trying to help out the younger Buzz. And he says, look, you know, we could, you know, the cat finds the formula to light speed or whatever they want to call it. And so with that, Buzz Lightyear can go back in time. And so the old Buzz Lightyear says, now you can go back in time and change it so that you can escape the marooned planet. You know, everybody can escape and I guess go back to Earth, and then they can live happily ever after. And then Buzz is like, but wait a minute, if I do that, then my partner will never meet her partner, Zoe, and they'll never have a family. And he's like, yeah, but they'll all get off the planet. And he's like, I can't do that for her because she's found true love. And I felt like standing up and screaming in the theater. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Are you, it's basically, you want, you know, I wouldn't say me.
I can see it. Joe standing up and ranting in a theater all by himself, surrounded by little kids watching this movie.
And the kid next to me is crying. He's like, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to teach you.
Mommy, this saw this man scaring me.
No, excuse me, sir. We're going to have to ask you to leave.
Good. I want to leave because this movie sucks. But, you know, it's basically like it. Like when I keep saying, it's like I'd easily throw Jack off the cliff if the Red Skull told me to, and that meant I got the Soul Stone. Yeah, you know, you're going to sacrifice, you know, his partner's love of somebody, meeting the love of her life, if it means saving like thousands and thousands of generations of people. What's the sense here? So you feel bad that your one friend fell in love with somebody and that she might not ever meet that person because I think she was some kind of scientist or whatever. I don't know. It just makes no sense. They're on the same marooned planet. You can figure out who it was that he fell in love with, have them hook up, and that'll be the end of it. But he thinks that it's possible that they might not ever meet and that they might not have a child and that she'll never find the true love and that she's happy now. So he basically, they end up defeating and I guess killing Zurg, or, you know, and they go.
Why are they going to kill Zurg?
Because now he's the bad guy.
Yeah,
but he's like, you know, go save all the people.
Exactly.
So Buzz turns into the villain.
No, they consider Zurg the villain because by Buzz going back and changing time, he's going to stop his partner from falling in love with this woman. And I was like, are you serious? Unless I'm missing something. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I fell asleep at some point.
But Zurg is even going to sacrifice himself because no, he won't exist.
Zurg is the good guy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying too. It's like, what kind of story is this? But he decides it's more important that his partner fall in love with this woman and have a family than to save everybody that's marooned on that planet. They still have to live with all these aliens that are killing them, but they'll just get used to it. You know, like
used to
right.
It.
They did. Well, they built a dome around where they live so that the aliens can't get in, but it's not a nice planet. And it's ridiculous. So, you know, he ends up going back and, you know, he destroys the possibility of him reaching light speed, and he just learns to live out his life with them. You know, it's just ridiculous. Again, I just wanted to scream.
But then he continues to age and he turns into old Zurg.
He created an alternate timeline, I think. I don't know. It's possible. You know, I'd have to see it again, but it ain't going to happen. You know, but yeah, it's possible that he does turn into Zurg. But no, I think it. No, he probably created an alternate timeline, and in the alternate,
if he did that, his friend would still exist in the initial timeline.
And but she'd not still if
be happy with
no, but he had to help the Buzz Lightyear from the timeline that his friend existed go back and save them from being marooned. Plus, it was his fault. He was the one that was supposed to take them out, and he. And the computer warned him that he was getting close to a cliff, and he refused to, he turned her off and they hit the cliff, and then he destroyed their ship and they were stuck in that planet forever. So he's screwed up throughout the whole film. He's just a jerk. He makes mistakes. And then for some reason, they kind of consider him a hero that he didn't do anything to his friend's life that, you know, cause now her granddaughter didn't disappear. It's just ridiculous. It's just so damn ridiculous. I just didn't like it. And again, and even when I was watching it, like Chris Evans does the voice of Lightyear, I did miss Tim Allen because I felt that there were some lines that he could deliver that would have, he would emphasize it better. Chris Evans is okay. I'm not going to say he's bad, but he's no Tim Allen. And
well, you know who made a good Buzz Lightyear
too? I know what you're going to say.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would prefer Patrick Warburton over Chris Evans. But I guess they wanted to draw in more of a crowd, you know, pushing Captain America is now Buzz Lightyear. And he's got no comic timing whatsoever, which is kind of odd because I think he started out in comedy, Chris Evans. It's not a very good movie. The twist was interesting, knowing that he was actually Zurg. And I thought that was kind of cool, but I just felt that the resolution was bad. And again, that they made him look like the old Zurg was bad because he was trying to stop him from this, you know, he wanted him to go back. It's all messed up. And I don't understand. This is, so it starts off and it says that this is the original movie that the toy is based on that Andy had watched and they created a toy from. This is not, this is, again, it's similar to like what they do with Star Wars. I don't think people watched all of the Toy Story movies. They probably did, but they probably forgot a lot of things. Buzz Lightyear is a toy, is a leader. He's very confident. He's none of those in this movie, not at all. Basically, he's just a screw up and he's taking orders from everybody else. And I just don't get it. This movie should have never been made. I don't get it. It's not pretty to look at. There's no one is good in this movie. I'm going to say maybe his partner is good, but Takiki Wakiki is in that movie and he sucks. The cat sucks. It's just a horrible movie. I just didn't like it. Maybe I'm getting old too, where I just can't appreciate.
What do you rate it?
3. Just because I'd never want to see it again. It's like I said,
that's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. I really don't get it. I started looking at some of the reviews on IMDb and some of those people are just haters, but when you read some of the reviews, you could tell that they saw the movie and that they had similar problems with the movie. Another big problem with this movie is with like what they're doing with Star Wars is they're not focusing on the story. They're focusing more. The most important goal of this movie is to push inclusiveness and diversity. And that's what they want to show, as far as I'm concerned, because they just did not do enough research to come up with a good story. And it's, I think that they could do both. They kind of like treat the audience like babies, where like they'll kind of push that, well, you know, if you're a certain gender or you have a certain sexual orientation, you're actually a little better than other people, you know, and, you know, they try to portray them in such a positive light that it's kind of, you know, sickening or like too sweet and all that. And every character should have some kind of flaw, you know, they should never [S2] Right. [S1] Be perfect. And that's what Disney does, where it's like, I just don't get it. It's either they're idiots or they're just such huge social justice warriors that they think that everybody should be thinking that way. And I just wish that Disney would stop doing that and go back to entertaining people, create movies with animals for a while so that, you know, we don't have to see all these, you know, different gender, race, sexual orientation, just give us something fun, you know. Like, I loved Zootopia. I thought that was really good. I think that was probably the last great Disney movie. And then everything's been going downhill since. Anyway, that's my review.
Zootopia, you know, you bring it up, but that really was a pretty good little movie.
It was. It was very good.
It really was. You know, the characters were all fun and likable. You know, it had a good twist. You know, but I mean, it's underrated, I think.
I agree.
I don't understand why any of those characters aren't in the parks, because it was successful and it's a great story.
Especially the tiger.
Oh, which one? The tiger.
You know, the security guard, the police guy.
Oh, the police guy. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is great.
Oh, you know, the sloth.
Sloth was fantastic.
I know, just like Judy and I forget the other guy's name, the fox. But they were just fun. I'll probably watch that movie this weekend because it was a really, really good movie. And it needs to get more love in the parks for sure. There's nothing about it. And I haven't been in the parks in a while, but I'm sure they're pushing Encanto and Raya and the Last Dragon and whatever else crap that they've done recently. I'd stand in line for an hour to get a picture with Judy Hopps as opposed to the Last Dragon, Awkwafina. Anyway, all right, let's move on. So I guess we will start with, I think I put this in order, did I? Yeah, let's start with Obi-Wan. So the most recent episode of Obi-Wan was part 5. No name as usual.
Getting to the end.
We are. We got one last episode. So I'll ask Jack. So did you see it and did you like it?
I saw parts of it.
Oh, you saw parts of it.
No, I'm sorry. I saw it and I liked parts of it. I thought other parts were kind of stupid. The parts I liked, I liked that Revan
Reva
tried to launch her master plan, and Darth Vader just smacked the hell out of her.
Mm.
You know, I found the organization, the path, or whatever these people are calling themselves. I found all the drama of they're going to escape, like a little hard to swallow because, let's face it, there's a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Right above them. As soon as those doors opened, if something left, the turbo lasers would have just blown it out of the sky, or God knows how many TIE fighters would just be circling anyway on standby.
I agree with that, but just say whether you liked it and what kind of number would you give it?
Like I said, I'm kind of torn. I liked some parts of it. Other parts of it just annoyed the heck out of me.
We'll get into those.
Okay. So I would say it's a delicate balance. I can't say I liked it. I can't say I hated it. So I'm just going to say it was middle of the road.
Any number?
5.
5, okay.
A Fedra. Straight down the middle.
Okay, Fedra.
I'll give it a 4. It was very predictable, which was very disappointing. And there were only a few parts that I liked as well.
Yeah, no, I'd probably agree with Fedra. I might go even a little bit lower, maybe a 3. I think this series is just awful. It should have never been done. The best parts are without a doubt whenever Darth Vader shows up. The acting is abysmal, although the actress that plays Tala is actually pretty good.
But, yeah, I'm sorry to see what happened with her.
Yeah, everybody else can suck apples, you know. Just not a fan.
Maybe all right, we'll see her back in Caspian.
Yeah, maybe, because she's probably not dead, because anybody can get, you know, struck right in the chest with a lightsaber and still survive. Anyway,
well, no, because if she's in Caspian, it's before this.
Yeah, I know, but I'm being sarcastic. So this, the fight scene in the beginning, like we saw, like a flashback between young Anakin and Obi-Wan. What would you think about that, Fedra and Jack?
I mean, I like the filming of it, like projecting the flashback and showing that as much as Darth Vader thinks that he has power, he's still that scared little boy, and that he hasn't really mastered those lessons of being a Jedi. And so as a Sith, you know, it's why he struggles. I think also effects wise, I thought Anakin looked a little older. So that messed me up a little bit because I was really focusing on his face and I'm like, yo, he looks.
No, good. I agree. Like they could have de-aged him. I was surprised that they didn't. He does look young for his age, but he's not like this probably took place before Attack of the Clones. So he should have looked.
That's what I thought.
He should have looked much younger.
Yeah.
Because he had that very thin little ponytail too. It definitely took place during Attack of the Clones, but it probably was before because he wasn't hot and heavy for Padme. He was just kind of training with Obi-Wan. But you are right. He should have looked much younger than he did. My problem with this, though, is Obi-Wan's an idiot. It's like he can't see that Anakin has got some anger issues and that maybe he can easily turn to the dark side. Why doesn't he tell the Jedi Council this? I mean, I know it's all fiction and everything, and there wouldn't be a story without Darth Vader, but it's just the writing. I just think that they wrote the prequels very wrong, or Lucas did. I think that they could have had Anakin turn to the dark side in a different way. It's just really, really weird. Like they didn't have to show throughout the prequels that he was always like an angsty young teenage kid. You know, it's like, I'm so much better than Obi-Wan and he gets everything and I get nothing. And I think he could have been portrayed as a hero of, I don't know if you would call it, it wouldn't be the rebellion. What would it be called, Jack, at that point?
What were they? The Clone Wars?
Well, prior, well, yeah, maybe during the Clone Wars. Were they the Rebellion? No.
No, we saw, you know, the people who eventually organized the Rebellion.
The Resistance?
No, that was, in The Force Awakens. What are they called? I know I'm going to remember it after we finish this. Whatever, the good guys, we'll call them the good guys. You know, it's just, I think that he could have been a hero, a Jedi Knight during the Clone Wars, fell in love with Padme, and for some reason, maybe he got jealous of Obi-Wan, maybe he thought he was fooling around with Padme, and that could have drove him to the dark side. And, you know, he was also coached by Palpatine too, but just that, like, Padme sees him freaking out and having temper tantrums. Obi-Wan sees him having temper tantrums. Nobody makes any call to human resources, you know. It's just like, we'll just kind of keep it under the carpet, you know. It's like, because he's a nice guy, I guess, and his mother died on the planet without us rescuing her. So it's like, we'll cut the guy some slack. My point is, he's an idiot. Because it's obvious during that duel that he has with Obi-Wan, he's full of anger. He's full of arrogance. He needs to win all the time. He has to show that he's the best and there's no one better than him. And
well, there's guilt. Remember, it was a very small scene, but he made a promise. Didn't he make a promise to his mom that he was going to come and take her out of that slavery and make her free and live comfortably?
What happened to that?
Yeah. I mean, if he didn't accomplish that, that's a form of guilt and shame that he kept his word on that. It's not really shown in any of the films, but, you know, guilt is something pretty heavy to keep inside that can brew into anger.
Well, that's still bad writing, because when you think about it, at the end of The Phantom Menace, everybody was happy. It was a good ending. No one thought to go and free Anakin's mother. And Padme is rich. She's got tons and tons of money. She could have definitely paid for Padme's mother and her sister, you know. And, Anakin's mother and her sister. And they just kind of left her. It's like, and even Anakin could have said, you guys ever going to pick up my mom? But it never was addressed. So for him to be like pissed off at, I guess, the Jedi Council and the Senate or whoever the hell else is in charge, he should also be pissed off at himself, because he could have been reminding them. It's like, my mother's still on that planet and she's a slave. Can't someone just go pick her up?
Oh, there's protocol, Anakin.
You should have no attachments, Anakin.
Your mother dies, she dies. You should leave your mother as a slave.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about Reva. So you guys have to acknowledge I was right from the very beginning.
Oh, you haven't let me speak, so I'll get there.
But no, I'm just asking you to acknowledge the fact that I called it from the very beginning that she was going to turn good.
Yes, you did.
I don't know if she's good.
She's good.
She was totally good. What are you talking about?
I don't know if she's good just because she took the shot at Vader.
They had that little heart-to-heart between a freaking wall. Like, that was just terrible.
Yeah, and then she stuck a lightsaber through it to try to skewer him.
No, but her whole thing was that it was such a stupid plan. It was like, if I am able to find Obi-Wan and bring him to Vader, then I can get really close to Vader and then I can kill him. That's just such a stupid plan. I don't know who's writing this crap, but they're just horrible.
It's extremely lazy writing.
Yes.
I mean, even the bit with the little robot, you know, fighting in the tunnel with Leia. Like, I don't know, at one point it comes out and its wings get raised and it looks just like Mickey Mouse.
It did, yeah. I think that was intentional.
It was like, I'm like, did they just make an evil Mickey Mouse robot?
No. Yeah, and all of a sudden Leia knows like IT and wiring and, you know, all that stuff all of a sudden.
No, but well, I mean, the profile was right there. I mean, with the two wings were like up and round. The body was to the side, so it looked like Mickey Mouse's nose.
Well, they do that all the time. It's in rides. It's even in the, you know, Galaxy's Edge. You can find hidden Mickeys in there. But, I mean, getting back to Reba, you know, again, one thing I told you guys, too, is that she's going to get her own series. She's getting her own series, for sure.
No, I don't think so.
No, because
I hope not.
She will. Because this is what's going to happen. So for some reason, and this is another stupid thing. So Bail Organa ends up leaving a voicemail to Obi-Wan and says, I just wanted to thank you for going after Leia. And it's kind of cool that you're looking after Anakin's son, who's on Tatooine, and his name is Luke Skywalker.
And he's with his uncle Owen.
Yeah. And so she's probably going to go back and she's going to be the protector of young Anakin Skywalker. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan will just be a hermit. Because after like Vader screwed. That's another thing, too. So it was like, we knew your plan from the very beginning and we just made you do it just to see you fail. Oh, shut the hell up. It's just such bad writing. It's such bad writing.
Well, actually, wasn't it? Did you think I wouldn't see that coming? After, like, Obi-Wan uses that exact, like, same phrase of, you'll never see it coming, you know?
No, like, it sounded like, basically, you know the Grand Inquisitor didn't die. Him and Darth Vader sat down at a bar, and they're like, look, this is what she's going to do. She wants to kill me, Darth Vader, but there's no way she can do it. But what we'll do is we'll pretend that I might give her a chance, but then I don't want to look too good, so I'll try to kill her a couple of times.
And then I'll say no and just wiggle my fingers at her.
And then after I basically nearly kill her, I'll call you to come in, and she's going to crap her pants when she sees you because she thought she killed you. And then you could take that little Grand Inquisitor pin and put it on yourself. And instead of chopping off her head and killing her, we'll tell her, you know what? We're going to make you live just so you can feel horrible for the rest of your life. You suck. He didn't say it that way, but basically that's how it's translated.
Basically what they said.
Yeah. Sounds like high school.
It's just so stupid.
But then how did she know to go after Bail Organa's like voicemail?
Well, because Obi-Wan dropped it and it just happened to fall right where she fell after she fought.
She had to drag herself over with a big lightsaber hole in her to get it.
Well, no, but whatever. He dropped it. I don't think that I'm not going to watch that episode again, but I think she just happened to find it. It's like, oh, what's this? Is this a penny? Lucky penny? Oh no, there's a voicemail on it. I wonder if it's important.
This is what you're thinking after you've been skewered by a lightsaber? It'd be like, oh my God, my lung is falling out.
The fight was nice. At least the fight, you know, was fun to just watch how easy it was for him versus her. But I like that the fact is that he didn't beat Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan still outsmarted him.
Well, do you think we're going to see him fight Obi-Wan again? One more episode.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because we've had the big moment where, you know, they came face to face again. I don't know what would really be gained out of having them fight again.
Because they have to have a big conclusion. It's either he's going to fight them or... He's not in a Super Star Destroyer. What is he in? He's in like one of his ships. They're going to show up in the path of, the ship that escaped. And they're like, what are we going to do now? I can guarantee you they're going to escape.
Yeah. And that the plan of, you know, the decoy. Well, but actually, did I miss something? I thought the actual ship was in what Darth Vader stopped.
Yes.
Like he
or maybe it was on the side outer of it?
Hull, and then they escaped from a ship inside.
Yeah, like they had like a lifeboat or something like that that they escaped from. Yes. And again, Vader is cool. Whenever Vader's on the screen, it's pretty damn cool. And you just kind of overlook stuff. Like what you were saying, Fedra, and Jack said it too. He just kicked her ass. I don't think she got one shot in. You know, even like when he was first fighting her, she had her dual-edged lightsaber and he didn't have anything. He was just using the force against her. And then he breaks the lightsaber in half and he's like, well, here, you have one now. It's like, and he still kicks her ass. It's cool to see. And I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked that she didn't have him on the floor because of Disney. Like I told you, Disney... They created this character, Reba, after they cast this actress. They're like, oh, we need, you know, a black, strong female character to push in the series so that we can have her in her own series. And she cannot be bad at the end of this series because we're going to give her own series and she has to be good. And that's exactly what they did. Which, by the way, I am super shocked that Tala had died. I thought that was very good. I would have been annoyed if she lived, but it just goes to show that they should have done that with Rose and so many other characters. Just let them sacrifice their life, you know, because it gives them more weight to the character. I like her a hell of a lot better that she was willing to sacrifice herself for Obi-Wan and Leia and those people.
Oh yeah. With the old thermal detonator. You know, but even that scene, she pulls it out and Reva's like, everybody run. Considering what we're seeing people do with the force, you know, why didn't she just push the thermal detonator back out? True. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like make her hold it as it explodes, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, In Civil War, Crossbones.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Lazy writing.
It is. Like, again, I think, like what I said for Lightyear, Disney just has an agenda. They feel that they want to portray the world in with the way they want to see it, because they feel that that is the best possible outcome for humanity, is if people look at specific races and genders in a specific way, that they always have to be good now, and they have to be elevated. And that doesn't have to be the case. They can still write a good story. I mean, if it was equality, it would never be that way. Like, Reba would have been bad. At some point, she would have died. But again, I knew that this was going to happen because it's Disney. And again, they did it in the video games too. It's like, they're like, oh, play as, the Empire in the new Star Wars Battlefront. And I saw the girl and I was like, she ain't going to last long as an Imperial stormtrooper or whatever the hell she is. She's going to join the resistance. And chapter two, she betrays the First Order and goes over to join the resistance. You don't even get to play like five chapters of her as a bad person.
Oh, I didn't see anything with the upcoming sequel to it.
Oh, no, this was Battlefront 2.
Oh.
There was a single-player campaign. And I forget who you play as, but it's just Disney. You know, it's like there's, again, certain, type of people, they've decided they can't be bad. Well, that's the whole thing, is that no one can be bad anymore. Even when you think about it, like going back to Lightyear, you always imagine Zurg was super bad. You know, that he was a Darth Vader of
Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear's universe. It's like, no, he's actually Buzz Lightyear, and he is a good guy. It's like Disney, Disney, Disney. I don't know what has become of you. Just not very happy.
I don't know. It's just, it's bizarre. You know, I don't know who is running these series for Disney Plus that they can just go so far off the mark.
And after all the things that Obi-Wan and Leia did in this series so far, the Leia in A New Hope, she has no idea who Obi-Wan Kenobi is. She says, General Kenobi, you know, you helped support my father during the Clone Wars. There's no way in hell she knows who Obi-Wan is. There's no way. They did not do their research. They just don't care.
I think that's what it is. They just don't care.
Or, I mean, maybe they think that because she's 10 years old, by the time she's like, what, 20-ish, that she's just not going to remember.
But she's super smart. How could she not remember?
Fair.
And that whole thing when she's like, what is it, diffusing or, trying to open up the door? That was just ridiculous. It's just like they give her too much to do in the series, and she never fails at what she does. She's a Mary Sue, and it's just annoying. Again, I wish I could be one of the writers and say at some point where, Leia is captured and Obi-Wan rescues her, that she runs up to Obi-Wan and she hugs him. And she says, I'm so sorry for not trusting you, and she cries. But no, they don't do that. She's always seen as strong. She never cries. She's always powerful. She sasses Reba when she's being interrogated, instead of being a little kid and whimpering and saying, I want my mommy and I want my daddy and I want my teddy bear. It's like, no. This Leia is the equivalent of like a 25-year-old girl for some reason, which just doesn't make sense. She's a kid.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And, last time we had a kid being tortured, and then in this one we see kids being killed. So
I was surprised that they showed that after like the mass shootings that they had recently. There was a warning before it, but still, I don't know if Disney's gotten any flack from that because, again, people are ultra sensitive now.
Well, I mean, they should. And I think it's just, again, like to me, if this is aimed at children, this shouldn't be even in the series. Then this should be for adults and be an adult series for Star Wars. And that's my problem with it. Am I being, you know, protective? Like, yeah, because it's kids being killed, you know? Like it, when a kid sees that, they see themselves, you know, they can have nightmares and stuff. I mean, that's not the point of watching Disney. Disney's supposed to make you feel good, right? Or am I missing the brand of Disney, not Star Wars?
No, you're right.
Two separate brands.
They need to clean house. First of all, they have to get rid of Kathleen Kennedy. She's got to go. She's basically ruining the Star Wars franchise with everything that she does now. I don't even mind if they get rid of Jon Favreau and Filoni and The Mandalorian. I just think that they need to just get rid of everybody and just halt.
I think Filoni is good.
I don't. I think he's crap. I think he just takes credit. I think he's one of those guys that takes credit when something's good, and then when something's bad, he just throws everybody under the bus.
Well, I thought he did a very good job with Rebels.
I thought he did a so-so job at Rebels. I thought the first season was pretty good. Some of the characters were very good, but then it kind of fell to the wayside after a while.
No, I don't
like him. I never liked him. Like, I never liked the Clone Wars. And, you know, one of my biggest problems, again, as I said over and over again, they could have changed the design of the characters at some point, at one season. They're like, well, let's make them look a little realistic instead of, does he seriously think that everybody likes the way Yoda looks in the Clone Wars, and everybody, like, those beards were so sharp on Obi-Wan and other characters. I don't like it.
Okay.
Anyway, I was going to say the two best actors in the series and the only good actors in this series is the actress that played Tala and the voice of James Earl Jones. Everybody else sucks. Any, do you guys have anything you want to say?
I stand by my usual stance of the actors did what they could with the material. Because I don't think Ewan McGregor's that bad.
He's bad.
Like you do. But I think he just does not have good material to work with.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to go with Jack. I still think he's a good actor. It's just this writing and this narrative and this.
And agenda. I like the guy, the fake Jedi, the actor.
Seriously? How the hell did he get there?
This could be a fun character.
How did he get there and why was he there?
He's okay. Sounds like he acts like a ripoff of Han Solo.
No, he's not even close.
I don't think he's not of Han Solo, but he's like that charlatan character. You know, Han Solo is, let's face it, Han Solo is cool. You know,
yeah.
And Han Solo will get into a fight with somebody. This guy seems like almost like the con man who would talk his way out of anything. You know,
yeah, that's basically what it is. He's a con man.
Yeah, he's a con
man. With a heart of gold.
Well, he's got the heart of gold cliche, but like I said, I like that actor. I think he's pretty good too, but you know, it was a little too easy for him to get away so they could use him in this episode. You know, if the whole place was on lockdown and he knew he had to get out of town, it's just a little too convenient that, you know, he shows up on the transport and gets away to the planet, just like Obi-Wan and Leia.
Well, that was my point too.
But, all right. Okay.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think we're going to see the Emperor next episode?
I don't think so. I think we'll see Vader get pissed off that Obi-Wan escaped. But that leaves the open question, you know. If he knows Obi-Wan is out there, why did he ever stop looking for him?
True.
That's very true. Very true, Jack.
You know, unless Obi-Wan fakes his death or something, you know. Nobody's dead until there's a body. sort of thing where, you know, everybody assumes Obi-Wan is dead, but he slipped out the back door before the building blew up.
And I still have a feeling we're going to see Darth Vader with his helmet off.
I hope not. I don't want to see that. I think if we see that, though, if we see the Emperor, I think maybe it'll be for like a split second, like Darth Vader going over to him.
Well, it might be a hologram, maybe.
Yeah, like I could see that, and I could see maybe the Emperor having Darth Vader, like, not distracted, but like to go toward other things at the end of that at the last episode. And that maybe would explain why he doesn't go searching for Obi-Wan.
I don't know. I think Darth Vader would be like, I'm going.
Oh, no, I do too. I mean, he screwed up his life for sure. And he's going to want revenge, and he's going to want to continue the search.
Right.
And, you know, maybe not necessarily him, but he's going to have people basically storming the galaxy until he can be found. And he probably figure out that he's on Tatooine. That's another thing. Now he's going to get back to Tatooine.
No, I don't think we'll see Darth Vader go back to Tatooine.
No, not Vader. I mean, Obi-Wan's got to get back there.
Oh, yeah, Obi-Wan's got to go back.
But I think we're going to, you know, I could be wrong, but I think we're going to see Vader, when I say without his helmet on, he's going to have his suit on, but he's going to have his helmet off so that we can see Hayden Christensen in makeup, you know, with the...
But we already kind of saw him.
Well, yeah. that was the back tank. I'm saying with the suit on, he's going to take off his helmet, and you're going to just see him kind of like Batman without the cowl.
What's the point for that?
Sell toys.
Fair enough. I don't know. I can't see us getting a line of Obi-Wan Kenobi toys.
Hot toys. I'm telling you, they're coming.
Oh, Hot Toys will. They'll make their dolls out of anyone. And I don't know. Those are a little too realistic. They almost start to look creepy.
Well, anyway, one more episode, and then that's one last series we have to worry about, because we've definitely been busy with a lot of our series recently. A lot of good things to watch. All right, so I'm going to get into Ms. Marvel, and you guys just throw questions at me, you know, to participate and all that. I'm going to say one thing. I think Ms. Marvel is the best MCU series that we've had so far.
Why?
Because it is. I just think it is. When I think about this, WandaVision sucked. I hated it. Loki sucked. I hated it. Now, The Falcon and Winter Soldier had its moments. What If sucked. Am I missing any of the series? Oh, Moon Knight sucked. I think it's the best series. I think it's fun.
Book of Boba. Know?
Well, that's Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. MCU. Sorry.
No, I think it's fun.
I liked Hawkeye.
Oh, Hawkeye was okay, but I still think that this is might be a little better. It's only two episodes in.
Hawkeye was the Christmas special.
Yeah. I kind of want to see Hawkeye again. And I don't know if I'd want to see this either, but I kind of like it. My biggest problem, unfortunately, is still with her. She's a little brat. And, I've said this before, she's just a little too heavy. And, you know, I think that that's Disney, again, pushing body positivity, where I've never seen the character look like that. And now they introduce this hunky British Pakistanian guy, you know, who's going to her school. And, you know, when I saw him, I was like, whoa, that's a good looking guy, you know. And he's got eyes for her. It's like, come on. It just, you know, doesn't make sense. Although
maybe her hips don't lie.
I don't know about that. But it's like I said, she's just there's a lot of weird things in this, but I love her parents. Like, her mother's very strict, but every now and then, you know, some cracks kind of show through, and you know, she might let her off a punishment, you know, saying it's like, all right, she's had enough. Her father just seems like he really cares about her. It's like, you know, one of those dads that, like, you know, the mother might yell at her every now and then, and the father will say, oh, are you okay? I know your mother sent you to bed with no dinner. Here's a slice of pizza, you know.
He's the good cop.
Yeah, he's the good cop. Exactly. Good cop, bad cop. He's definitely the good cop. She's definitely the bad cop. But I like her, though, because she's got her reasons for why she punishes Kamala, because Kamala's a little jerk. You know, she doesn't do what she's supposed to do. She's definitely the daughter. I really hope, if I ever have kids, I don't have one like that, that will tell their parent, I'm going somewhere, and then they go somewhere else that's very dangerous, or they go to a party when they're supposed to be going to a friend's house, or they'll lie about having a sleepover, and they'll take a train to Manhattan. That scares me. I've had a kid like that, and I'm sure a lot of parents have to deal with that. But there was a couple of things that one problem I have with her. So they revealed in this episode that her bangle unlocks her power within. So I'm not sure if she takes the bangle off, if she'll still have the power. And again, her powers are kind of lame. How she got her powers is kind of lame. So I'm not really a fan of that. It is kind of like Shazam, Jack, like where her friend is trying to help her train to unlock her powers. You know, or the greatest American hero, because she doesn't know what her powers are really. She's just experimenting with them, and she kind of messes up a lot because she doesn't know how to control it properly. So it's kind of fun in that way. There's a scene in there, which again, I like. They showed a mosque, and I've only heard of mosques. I've never really kind of seen the interior of it, but it kind of shows what it's like. And it's like a prayer service. And, you know, they have that where, you know, the Muslim community will pray to Mecca. They kind of showed that too. But what they show in there is that the women are divided amongst the men. So the men will like be in the front, and there's basically a partition between the men and the women. So like, it's kind of like off limits for women to cross over this area because of their tradition. You know, like where, I guess you would say they're kind of considered secondhand citizens because they're not male, but they still are allowed to go to the services. The thing I don't believe is that at some point Kamala is talking and the head of the services says, you know, Kamala, do you have something to say? And she starts complaining. She's like, I don't think it's right that us women get to sit in the back. Meanwhile, you men can sit in the front. You know, we should have the same rights as you. They would have kicked her out. I'm pretty sure they would have kicked her out for saying that.
Yeah.
In the middle of a service.
And they would probably
in the middle of the service?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Come on. That's way. And that would like humiliate her family. I don't think her family would be back.
Yeah. And then there was another girl who wasn't Kamala who was on her phone. And the guy that's heading the service says, can you please refrain from tweeting? And she goes, I'm not tweeting. I'm Instagramming. She would have been kicked out for sure. You know, I don't buy this crap. And again, I think that this is, again, Disney trying to paint their own vision of what the world is. It's kind of like when, I don't know if you guys saw the live action version of Aladdin.
No.
I know I had a feeling Fedra didn't. Jack, did you ever see it?
No, I had seen it. Yeah.
You know, at the end, they're like, well, since Jasmine is so smart and good, let's just make Jasmine the Sultan at the end. It would never happen. You know, never happen, especially during that time period.
Yeah, no way.
And again, you know, Muslim women do have rights, but they still have to behave like, you know, everybody. You know, you just can't disrupt during a service and, you know, say how you feel and go against the, you know, the head of the service and all that. So now her friend is running to be on the board of the service, you know, and she's a female. which is fine. But I still have a feeling that it would be frowned on. The only thing I could think of is that who's that senator, Omar? She's Muslim, and she, you know, made it high in her community. So I guess it has to occur, you know, like where, you know, a female member of the Muslim community can go on and serve office and has some sort of power. So it is possible, you know, maybe I am wrong, but I still find it hard to believe that kids would get away being on their phone and just standing up and speaking and saying, it's not fair that we sit back here. You know, I can't see. They would say, Asan chop.
No, I could see like their phones being taken away for the service. Like, I could see stuff like that, but not like not having that to be tolerated. No way.
Yeah, screw that. You know, I like her friend. I think her name is Nikhila. I think she should have been Kamala. You know, and I know I'm going to sound shallow and everything, but she's cuter, you know, and she's thinner. And I kind of, again, if Kamala is going to have a love interest, I would think he would be more attracted to her. I know that sounds bad, but if you've seen Kamala, I just don't get it. And that's another thing too. This guy is super good looking, and you know, the girls and even the guys are intimidated by him. And Kamala just goes up to him. He's like, hey, what's up? What's up? What's up? You know, you would think that Kamala would be like, oh my God, I really like this guy. I hope he doesn't come over to talk to me, 'cause I don't know what I'm going to say. And, she just acts too cool for school. And they kind of imply, well, that's why he likes her, because she's so cool. And it's like,
But I thought in the first episode, she isn't cool and that she wasn't really blending in with anybody.
She just likes to, she just doesn't like anybody. You know, it's like, she doesn't like, she wants to be cool, but she doesn't like the cool kids. And, which I think is good too, because like when they make fun of her, you know, she might say jerk, you know, instead of saying, oh, I suck. So she's got like some sort of gumption in her. But I just don't imagine, I never read the comics. I just don't imagine her having all of this super confidence, being the way she is. I don't know. And like Jack had said last week, she does come off as a brat to me. Maybe she'll learn something from this and she'll become more likable, and then I'll change my opinion on her. But I just think it's a bad way to introduce her. But that's about it. You know, I mean, I think it's a good series. I think that I think you both would like it. You know, there's things to like about it, and then there's things to scratch your head with, like the whole mosque thing. Like I said, I just couldn't believe that. Like if that was a Catholic church or a synagogue, they'd kick those kids out.
Well, I've got too many things that I want to watch, so it's just not on my watch list.
Okay, that's fine.
When I get there, I'll get there.
All right, let's get to the boys. And we're up to episode number 4. And it was called The Glorious 5-Year Plan. So, Fedra, what'd you think of the boys?
Oh, it was great. Once again, pretty brutal. Kind of expected the ending, but not like, I mean, it's still like made me feel heavy in my stomach with Homelander and Starlight on that roof showing her that her childhood friend is just into pieces. I don't know, really, really good writing. I feel that there was a lot going on in the episode. I really loved it. Really, really felt for Frenchie and for, I'm going to brutal her name again, Kumiko. You know, I really hope she doesn't die. I'm a big fan of that actor, Soldier Boy. I don't know his name, but very
He's the guy from Supernatural, right?
Yeah, he's very famous for that and had a huge following. I just think he's very, very handsome, very good looking. So I think he's going to do well with playing this role. I'm really surprised that they haven't used him sooner in other, you know, action or superhero films. So I'm glad that he's getting a shot in this. I agree with you also, Joe. I love that little bit of the 70s. I thought that was like hilarious, him trying to sing and dance on there and perform.
I'm sorry, Solid Gold. Did you ever see an episode of Solid Gold?
I've seen like reruns of it. Yeah, it was pretty spot on. It was literally like a remake.
It was cringy even back then. I remember I used to watch it.
Yes, and cringy is a good way to put it.
I would turn it on like for a second just to see the girls dance. And then I'd be like, I can't watch this show, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny because it was spot on, you know, like where they had Marilyn Monroe and Waylon Flowers and Madam. You know, it's like, I remember that person who they were like a ventriloquist and they were on Hollywood Squares every now and then. I just thought it was it made me smile. That was like the first part. And then he was singing Blondie's Rapture.
Mm-hmm.
That's just classic. Good God. The writers are so good. I give them props. I don't know how they come up with this stuff, but it's fantastic.
It really is.
Yeah, it just keeps getting better and more and more insane.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, even with Butcher like doing the V and then like, and it was so hypocritical. Like everybody's just getting on being like, "Oh, you can't use it." And then I'm sorry, what's his name?
Huey,
yeah. And then he does it, and then all of a sudden everybody's just bashing on him. It was just like, "Are you kidding me?" And it was kind of cool like how, you know, he ended up killing the dude with his arm. I thought that was super cool. It was almost like he was invisible, right? Or was he super fast?
Oh, was he kind of like Termite?
I don't know. Like how I felt. I felt like he was invisible.
Well, I think
I think I was still reeling from the Russian mobster getting it.
Oh, that was that was far away from that, Jack.
But that was insane.
Well, that was pretty cool. And it kind of shows Kimiko, she is like Wolverine.
Yeah. And
I might have forgot it. So she basically can't die.
Well, but this is different, right? Because we don't know what Soldier Boy has as far as a power. And I mean, it really did a number on her, you know, at least at that point. But yeah, like killing all the guys with the dildos, that was great. I loved it.
No, I thought it was classic. Well, what song was? It was Bill Bev DeVoe, Poison. You know, it's like that song is great. Again, they just know what music to play that's properly. And then she comes out dressed in all sexy, and mm-hmm. she's never worn heels before. You know?
Yeah, I knew exactly how she felt. Yep, when she did that little trip, I was just like, yep, go girl, try it out, you know, just try.
And she still is my favorite. I hope she doesn't die. But yeah, no, I didn't realize, and again, my memory fades so quickly. I don't remember most of the episode. The thing I mostly remember from previous seasons is when Homelander abandons the people on the plane, you know, and there's probably more things I remember too, but that, you know, that she got shot in the head and mm-hmm. then the bullet popped out after a while. That's Wolverine for sure.
Yeah. I don't know why she didn't turn around and smack those girls. I don't care. I don't care if they were afraid. Well, you don't said, shoot me when I'm just trying to save you. I'm like, what?
Well, she said that, you know, she felt that they were bought and sold, you know, and, that they were basically slaves and like her, she kind of saw them in it. And again, I guess she's been killed before and she just comes back and it's not a big deal to her.
Wow. That's taking it really deep when you put it like that.
Yeah. But she is pretty cool. I was wondering what that one, I don't know if I want to, or Vibrator was. It was really, really long. Trying to think whose that was.
Yeah, it was the Homelander.
No, it wasn't the Homelander one. It was a different one. Because Homelanders had like the Star Spangled Banner on it, or the colors of the flag.
Oh, was it the Deep?
It could have been the Deep, but I doubt it. I kind of don't think he's that big. Sorry.
Speaking of that, I liked that fight that they were in the hallway, and then Homelander comes out and he's like, "Oh, boys!" Like, I loved that. It just showed that kind of narcissism of like everybody hates him, but then at the same time, it's like, how the heck do we take him down?
Everything is just so good, and it's just so well written. And I started reading The Boys, and it's weird. It's similar, but it's not following the comic. First of all, it's going all over the place. Like, stuff that was in like the first few issues is showing up like in season two or three. So they're kind of messing it around. And then things that happen in the comic book don't necessarily happen the same way as they do on the TV series.
Well, that's what I was kind of trying to say. Like, I read certain things that haven't happened yet. We're in the fourth season.
Yeah.
But you know they're coming.
Yeah, like that Nina character. She dies pretty early, I think, in the comic book series. And she just was introduced. So I don't know. It seems to me like they're going to keep her alive. So I think that they take liberties. Like, they try to stay as faithful to the comic book, but then they change some things around, maybe even to keep us guessing, because, like, we don't know what the hell's going to happen.
I guess. I mean, you know, look what they did with Stormfront. They gender swapped her for the show and then gave her a whole storyline that differed from what we saw.
And then there's supposed to be like a group of like Teen Titans sort of heroes that, you know, Huey and I think all of the boys, you know, Butcher and Mother's Milk and Frenchie, they have a fight with them and they have the Compound V in them, and and Huey accidentally kills one of the members of the Supers. And he has killed. I don't think we're ever going to see that, you know?
Well, that was it. Huey was, like, shocked at what he had done. But he just killed somebody on the show, and it didn't faze him in the least bit.
Yeah, he seemed happy. It was like you know, Kimiko was basically dying in the back. He had a big smile on his face looking at his arm. I think he's, like, termite because he lost his clothes. You know,
well, I thought it was more like he teleported, but he teleported himself, not his clothes.
Okay, maybe that's it. I guess we've only the superpowers that we've seen have been strength, and you know, and a couple other things, speed. But I guess I was thinking of termite, but that makes more sense, Jack. And there are some supers that don't have any powers other than, you know, like their brains, like they might be kind of like, you know, Tony Stark, or like they're super smart and they can calculate things and they can be easily killed. Well, in the comics, so I don't know if we'll see anything like that.
Was also this scene in the episode that I thought was too close to home. And I don't know if the writers were kind of being witty with showing this as the vaccine in their own way, but when the Vought, the CEO of Vought, and he's talking about his quote-unquote adopted daughter, and she like gives something to Zoe, and like see what happens to her, but she clearly gives her a shot of something, which is blue. So I don't know if that was actually V and like turning her into a soup, or if it was something else. And like the scene like ends with the child just screaming like murder. And that was really hard for me to see. Yeah. And it's just like, just was like just too close to home with what, you know, of that conversation of vaccines and how this really almost really paralleled with that conversation of like, is that right that she gave that to her, but she's giving that to her to quote unquote protect her?
Yeah,
I took it as like she was getting something that is going to suppress powers from starting.
No, I feel the opposite. I think that she is getting powers, that she is going to become a super, that she has, I guess, Homelander gave her something that will make sure that she's protected from someone like Homelander, because that's what she's afraid of, is that her daughter is going to be killed by one of the supers. But I had seen the episode twice, because the first time I didn't pay attention to it because I had stuff going on. But the second, each time I've seen that episode, that really disturbed me, what happened to that little girl.
Yeah.
It's very hard to watch.
It was a very strong scene to watch.
Again, everybody, you cannot say that anyone in this series is a bad actor. And again, when you compare this to Obi-Wan.
Oh, hands down. Yeah.
Everybody's just, and again, is it the writing? Is it the direction? Is it the acting? I don't know what it is, but it just works. You know,
I mean, it's a cohesive effort. I think it takes all of that. And I mean, you like, they have to believe it, you know, as the actors, they have to believe they're in that world to create that world. And I think they all do a fantastic job. I mean, really, even like the situation of A-Train, like I even liked that little bit, even though it was very predictable, but it was the fact that like, it's him who tells Homelander, because, you know, he wants to be in the good graces. And we're thinking, like, for just a brief second, we're really hoping he's going to do the right thing and, like, join them and be like, yeah, let's get at this mother, you know what. But no, A-Train only thinks about A-Train. And he just pulls that, you know, and it's like, now I'm just rooting for his death. Like, now I want him to have a gruesome death, because it's like, how the heck can you do that after everything that Homelander did to you? You're still under his coattails. Like, it's pathetic. But that's such a great moment, and it was so minuscule. But it's because of, you know, developing this character and just showing what everybody like does around him in the Seven and how to be in the Seven. Like, that's really great.
You know, Obi-Wan is so predictable. Like, you can tell what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This always shocks me, because who was like her ex-boyfriend, Starlight's ex-boyfriend?
Oh yeah, Sonic.
Was it Supersonic?
Supersonic. Mm-hmm.
So I was under the impression that he was going to betray her, that he basically had spoken to Homelander ahead of time, and he was like, basically, be my eyes and ears, you know, because I don't trust Starlight, and if you want to be in the Seven and you want to be the number two spot in the Seven, you just let me know what's going on. And I thought, because he kept like saying that I'm here to protect you, and then he would just like instantly say, like, you know, like where, you know, Starlight would say, do you think you could be on our side if something goes down? And he's like, yes. You know, it just felt like he was saying it too quick, and that maybe he was going to betray her at some point. And then to see that Homelander killed him, I was like, I got that totally wrong. And that A-Train was the one that betrayed. It's just, the writing is brilliant, because I did not see that coming at all. And they did such a great job. And I'm glad we finally got to see Maeve again.
Yeah, I love the fact that she's just exactly where she was. And I really loved her snarkiness. And she's just like, I make sure that they know what I want them to know. I was like, you go, girl. Like, she's just in there training day in and day out, like with one initiative, because it seems like that's what it's going to take. It seems like no one else has that. I mean, maybe Butcher. I would say Butcher is kind of along the lines of Maeve right now.
Well, yeah, I think that she's probably the second strongest, kind of like how it is in the DC universe, Superman and Wonder Woman. That would be a good fight. And I think that that's the case, you know, with Maeve and Homelander.
Well, she also knows him. She also knows him very well.
And again, what's cool about her is that she's been acting like she's drinking, that she's fallen off the wagon, but in secret, she's been training, you know, getting ready for this confrontation that she knows is going to occur at some point. And she's also helping them, you know, find the secret weapon. And I kind of had a feeling too that Soldier Boy was going to be the weapon, you know, to defeat Homelander.
Well, maybe he is when he does that, you know, energy coming out of his chest. Maybe it that strips powers.
It does. I mean, that's why Kimiko, you know,
she's not healing.
Yeah.
Does that mean that maybe in the next episode she's normal?
No, I think what's going to happen is I really hope she survives this one. I think she will. She'll probably regain her powers, but it'll be a while, you know, before she's back to herself. Again, it reminded me of Logan, like when Logan lost his powers in the Wolverine, and then that kid in X-Men Last Stand that was able to take away the mutant's powers. I guess they realized that he's a powerful weapon, and it could have been that way and irredeemable too. I forget who the Plutonian's nemesis was, who was a villain, but apparently he was like the only one that could really had a good chance of defeating him.
Yeah, he was like a wizard or a magician or something.
Yeah. And I do hope we get to see more. And again, the whole thing is so damn freaking interesting. You know, like with Mother's Milk and how...
Yeah, it is.
He's torn between Soldier Boy because Soldier Boy killed his family.
I can't wait to figure out why. Why the heck would Soldier Boy do that? I thought he was like a poster boy, like kind of like Captain America.
I thought it was an accident. I thought it was like some kind of accident. Didn't they die like in a car crash or something?
Nobody knows.
Oh, really?
No, I thought they hinted at like he came in and just took him out.
You know what's interesting? Again, I started reading the comics. Is like, and they haven't brought this up yet. You know why he's called Mother's Milk? Do you know the story about that, Jack?
No.
So he is basically a super, or he was born, you know, had something to do with like their powers or something with Compound V, but. He needed his mother's milk to survive. So like he couldn't be fed on regular milk. He needed, the only way he could survive was drinking from his mother's milk. So he continued to drink breastfeed from his mother up until he was an adult. Like at this current time, he should be still drinking his mother's breast milk.
Okay.
And that's why he's called Mother's Milk. But I think the mother had worked at the lab for Vought, and you know all the women that were working there, they all got infected, and that's why mother's milk came out the way he did, is that he has some sort of birth defect where if his mother dies, he'll die because he relies on her milk. Now that could change too, because I think in the comics I think she is dead and he's still alive, so unless he's got a huge supply of his mother's milk stored somewhere. I don't know. But it is. It's very interesting. Like when you hear the story, again, it's very similar in ways and it's very different in ways. But both of them are good. I would recommend reading the comic, and I would definitely recommend watching the series. I would say I do feel bad for Starlight. I don't know what the hell she's going to do. I think he's going to try to sleep with her, Homelander.
Yeah, I think that's a matter
of time because he's torturing her the same way he tortures everybody else. And he knows she's like emotionally scarred from the deep. So he's going to try to inflict that on her as well.
And what if he gets her pregnant?
Who knows with this show?
Huey.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is again, Disney would never do this. I'm glad that Amazon Prime is doing this because it's like they don't hold back at all. And again, it gives me faith, even though this series is screwed up. It's not like we're going to, turn to everything just being super woke. We're going to have something like this every now and then, because it is getting very good ratings. People seem to like it. And other studios are just going to catch on. And they do, because I know Netflix does that too. Like, when they see something's popular, they're like, well, we got to get a piece of that. We got to do something disturbing, because it seems like people like disturbing things, you know?
Well, they like something different.
Yeah. When something is popular,
you can't have the same thing all the time, which, it goes back to, like, we talk about with The Last Jedi. Rian Johnson did something different. Well, you know what? You need something different every so often. You can't have the same stories rehashed. It gets boring. So he gave us something different and everybody jumped all over him.
It's annoying when I think back about The Last Jedi, because that movie was successful. It wasn't as successful as The Force Awakens, but it was pretty damn successful. It made over $1 billion. I think it made like maybe $1.3 billion, $1.7 billion. But for some reason, Kathleen Kennedy and Disney were like, oh, it didn't do as good as The Force Awakens that made over $2 billion. So we need to change it. And then The Rise of Skywalker did worse than The Last Jedi, just because it was a mess. But, we didn't talk about, the head of Vought, how he was betrayed by Zoe's mom. I keep forgetting what her name is.
Well, his adopted daughter.
Newman. I didn't see that coming either. And that guy is such a good actor, Giancarlo Esposito.
He is. He's really good.
He is so smooth. It's so weird. That guy needs a mustache. It's like, I don't know why he shaved it off. It just seems like he should have been born with a mustache, you know? I'm like, why is it not there? I still see it there for some reason, but he is just so good. He's just, again, he's very smooth with how he talks to Homelander. And
yeah, that was one of probably, like, for writing, that was probably one of my favorite scenes in that episode, because he still, like, talked him down, even though, like,
he could have killed him.
Yeah. Could have tore his head off right there. But he just looked at him as if he's nothing. And I mean, calling him bad product. Just tearing down that ego. It was just like, yes. I mean, I'm just rooting for him. Like, yes, tell him how horrible he is. And he's just doing it straight face, like, business, nothing about it being personal at all. It's just like, you're just a sneaker and you didn't sell well. Now get out of my way. Wow. really?
I don't think there's anyone that's not good on that show at all. I think they're all really good.
Really? Yeah, agreed.
The only one that I'm not crazy about is, like, the second in command of Vought, that girl with the red hair.
She's just like your typical conniving office crony.
No, I like, well, she completely took over for Elizabeth Shue. I liked Elizabeth Shue much better.
Right. But she was there nipping at Elizabeth Shue's heels. And now that she's got it, she's just, she'll do anything to keep her job. Even stuff that she knows is just reprehensible, she doesn't care. She'll do it because she's going to keep her job. I think she's good too, because, she's one of those people you just want to see her get hers.
Yeah, no, it was funny too, like, where Homelander said, did you screw stupid? And she's just like, doesn't know what to say. And then later on, she meets with that Tucker Carlson type of guy, and she's like, did you just screw stupid? I prefer Elizabeth Shue over her. That's my minor nitpick, but she's a good actress. I think she plays the part role. I just don't like the character, but it's a fantastic series. I don't know if I would give this episode a 10. I don't like giving 10s, but I'd probably give it a 9, you know. They were all good. And as soon as I get off with you guys, I'm watching the next episode.
Of course you are.
And then maybe I'll text Jack at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, don't do that again. Don't do that.
Did I wake you up, Fedra?
No, I sleep like a rock.
No, like I said, I always turn my phone off to sleep mode when I go to bed.
So when I literally fall off a cliff in the middle of the night, Joe will have to wait till he sees it on the news or something.
There's nothing I can do about it, Jack. You know, it's like...
No, he'll... Fedra, you'll get the text. God damn it. Jack hasn't texted me back, that son of a bitch. He better have a good reason for not texting me back.
And just now in local New Jersey.
And just now.
It was funny. I remember one time
podcast broadcaster was found at the bottom of a cliff.
I went to a casino in Atlantic City, and I took my mother because she likes to play slot machines. And I was done gambling, and I was looking for my mother, and I couldn't find her for like 3 hours because every old lady had her stupid gerbil-like haircut, you know? And, so I finally see her, and I'm like, the only excuse I was willing to take from you is that you were dead. But that made her laugh. And you know,
my loving son told me he wishes I was dead.
So last thing, I guess, since I mentioned the gerbil, what about that hamster, Jamie?
Yeah, right? That was disgusting.
That was everything a gerbil should be on The Boys.
Yeah, I don't understand why he bonded with Frenchie, you know, because Frenchie was kind of irritating his little playpen there.
I don't think he bonded. It's a gerbil. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think he just talked to him like a human being.
Yeah.
You know, just treating it nice.
Or maybe he was abused by the people from Vought and he recognized their uniforms.
True. Yeah, that too.
But I think he's gonna be part of The Boys now.
Makes sense.
I don't know. I think we're gonna get a running joke.
He is in the comics.
I want Frenchie to take Komiko out of the hospital and go to Mercedes and just never come back.
No, I don't want that, you know, just because I really like her. I like him too, but she is my favorite character still.
I know, but they need peace.
No, they do.
They need a vacation.
For a week. You can go on vacation for a week, but then come back, you know, not forever. Don't do the Bruce Wayne and the Dark Knight Rises crap.
Excuse me, guys. I'll be right back.
Oh, we're done, actually, if you want to just say goodbye.
Okay. Good night, everybody. You can always send me email, hate mail at jackm@wdwnt.com.
Thanks, Jack.
Okay. Bye, Jack. Night.
Well, I was going to come back in a couple of minutes, but...
Well, you could, you know...
If you're still on, I'll be back.
Okay. All right. So, Fedra, so where can people find you?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram, or you could be my friend on Facebook. And you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
Be my friend, Godfather.
Be my friend.
Every time you say that, I think of that.
Come on.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request. Check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Park News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And finally, if you enjoy our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode number 28. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. It seemed like there was a little silence with Jack Nutt being there. So I had to put in my 2 cents. You can put in another 2 cents, Fedra. All right. Say good night, Jack.
Good night, Jack.
He was going to say that.